Hey out there, everybody, and welcome to Caffeination 168. This is the 168th edition here at the Caffeination. We're going to call this the multitasking edition, and I'll tell you why in just about a minute. We'd like to say hi and hello to all of our listeners out there, all the new and returning listeners to this, the Caffeination podcast, found lovingly nestled over at www.caffeination.com. That's caffeination.com for those of you who just don't feel like spelling it out. All right, like I said, this is Caffeination 168. We're calling this the multitask edition because one of my favorite sports teams is playing right now as we speak. Philadelphia Eagles are currently getting manhandled by the New York Giants. So I decided to start recording a little bit earlier than I would have otherwise. Yes, they could come back, but I'm going to make an educated guess and say it's just going to be pretty much a wash of a game. I am a geek of all trades at different points in time. I am at all same points in times a sports geek, a computer geek, and a video game geek, and right now all three of them are fighting. So right now the computer geek's winning. We're recording the podcast. Everything's working out fine there. Sports geek took over a little bit ago, but he's thoroughly disgusted with the team at this point. Yeah, so we were trying to do a whole bunch of stuff at the same point in time, and I just decided to start recording the episode, you know, make sure got it out there while I was still awake and not too terribly irritated. The Caffeination is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. You can find all the other member shows lovingly nestled in their homes over at techpodcasts.com. All the other members have agreed to create child-safe, family-friendly, and educational content. So hopefully you head on over there, check out some of them. If you'd like to find us, like I said, we're at caffeination.com. If you'd like to contact us, you can do that either via email at caffeination@gmail.com, through Skype at thecaffeination, all one word, or you can dial our listener line at 215-240-1319. A whole bunch of numbers floating around in my head right now. I'm seriously like out of it. So we're going to hopefully give you a good episode here. Give you a little bit of a rundown on today's show. We're going to talk a little bit about sports. I think we've pretty much covered most of that. We're going to talk a little bit about robots, biking, and a short rant about coffee towards the end of the show. So hopefully you'll stick it around and hear that one as well. Hopefully it'll be worth it for you. We also have a new source for PodSafe music that we're going to be trying out. This is actually a new partnership that we're working on through iota.net. They actually have the ability for you to buy songs through iTunes, Napster, and a whole bunch of other stuff. So there's going to be links directly in the show notes, so hopefully you'll head on over there. And if you like the song, you can head out there and download it. We're working on getting the whole iTunes affiliation thing working. So if you buy the song, I don't get any money on at this point in time. I think if you buy it from Napster, I might get a little... a couple cents or something like that. But hey, everything helps to go pay the bills, you know what I mean? And speaking of paying the bills, we'd like to talk to you about one of our sponsors, the long-term sponsor here for the Caffeination Podcast. If you're looking for a better way to present or work together during conference calls, your solution is simple. Web conferencing with GoToMeeting. During your call, everyone logs on to GoToMeeting.com and your computer screen shows up on all of their monitors. It's like you're all in the same room. GoToMeeting is perfect for sales or product demos, training, or real-time collaboration. Plus, you're not charged a permanent fee like some of the other providers that are out there. You can meet as often as you want for as long as you need with one flat rate. With GoToMeeting, you can meet with anyone, anywhere, anytime, and never have to pay a cent more. You'll never have to leave your office either. You not only end up saving a serious amount of time, but a boatload of money as well. You can see for yourself, try GoToMeeting free for 45 days. Just visit GoToMeeting.com/podcast. That's GoToMeeting.com/podcast. We'd like to thank GoToMeeting for being a continued sponsor here at the Caffeination. You are definitely helping us to continue the fight, as it were, against bill creepage and whatnot. So hopefully everything's going to work out along those lines. That didn't even really make sense. All right, so the whole sports thing came into play because I am an avid Philadelphia sports fan just in general. I'm not really a big basketball fan, so I don't follow them unless they're in the playoffs. I'm an admitted bandwagon jumper there. I've been a Phillies fan my entire life, Flyers fan my entire life, for no reason. Either. Nobody else in my family even likes hockey. And an Eagles fan for my entire life. But the Phillies made my day for the first time in 14 years. They're actually in the playoffs earlier today. And the Eagles had a chance to do something great for the city, had a chance to keep the city riding high, and currently they're losing 17-0 or something like that. So, it's a little painful to watch. So I decided, you know what, make an executive decision here, and I'm going to save my save everything. And I'll just check the replay when it comes on later on, because it doesn't look like there's going to be anything worth watching. And the commentators are irritating the hell out of me. So I decided to spend the time with you as well. You're always very nice to talk to. So we have a great show lined up for you today. Like I said, a lot of tech tidbits here, a lot of technological content, and a little bit of caffeinated bits and food bites to round out the show. So please... Yeah, feel free to stick around and enjoy the rest of the show. I promise I won't mention any of the other stuff again. But I would like to say that now we have our... all right, if I can get everything to work here, this would be perfectly fine. Now we have our new PodSafe music source. This is from a band called The Exploders, and the song is I Can't Dance from their record Easy on the Sun. If you head on over to caffeination.com, you can actually click on the iTunes Music Store or the Buy It Napster links, and you can download it and, you know, do whatever you need to. We're also currently partnered with Rhapsody, so if you have one of the players that can use Rhapsody, I think the Creative Zen jukeboxes and stuff like that, or if you just like to do it on your PC. It's a subscription-based service, so you can try it for a 14-day trial if you click on the little link over at thecaffeination.com. It's all the way on the right-hand side. If that interests you, then you can give that a shot. We're going to be trying it later on this week, so hopefully I'll be able to report back to you and tell you how it is. My sister seems to love the service. I unfortunately have an iPod. It doesn't work with an iPod, so... I might have to use it as a tethered system just to check it out, see how it is. So again, like I said, we have the Exploders and I Can't Dance from the record Easy on the Sun. And let me know what you think of this one.
Every step is burning up, pop song.
Okay, that was the Exploders with their song I Can't Dance from their album, and I just dropped it, Easy and the Sun. So hopefully you enjoyed that. We actually weren't actually ready for the song to stop there. Apparently there's another 150 seconds left in the song. It's all just blank space at the end. I should have probably checked that out before I decided to go ahead and play it. But hey, we're all working here. We're trying to get everything up and out so you can enjoy this episode. Now on to the tech tidbits here at the Caffeination Podcast, which, by the way, is held on over at www.caffination.com. First up, we have the word on the street, and this week's word is sneakernet. Now, for those of you who you have the internet, you have the intranet, you have the World Wide Web and everything else like that, sneakernet's a little bit more old school than that. If you've ever had an office, or if you've ever had a bunch of buddies and you sit there and share files or anything else like that, you can send it via sneakernet. Easiest way is you copy it to a disk, you walk down the hall, and you drop it on your friend's desk. Or you copy it on a disk, go to school, and drop it off at your buddy's locker. So you kind of get the idea what sneakernet is. And basically, that's the kind of file sharing, you know, P2P, definitely person to person, that you're never going to be able to shut down. You're never going to be able to stop somebody from, you know, sitting there ripping a CD into their computer, copying the files to a disk, and giving it to a buddy. So, despite all the crackdowns and all the online stuff, which just makes it easier to do it, you're never going to be able to stop, you know, very determined individuals who actually have physical, real-life meetups. So just kind of a put it out there, educate you a little bit more on some of the buzzword compliance words we found out found floating around the internet and have seen used in the recent history. So, all right, when cell phones attack, first little story we have up here from Engadget, over at Engadget.com, in case you've never seen, is actually a ginormous, their word, not mine, Razor 2 crashes into a Mercedes in Russia. So apparently this Mercedes was parked under a giant Razor 2 billboard, and they had a fun little phone sitting on the side of the billboard, and the phone fell off and cut into the car. Now there's two ways that this could actually go. The first way I see is, my God, it sucks to be the dude who had the Mercedes. Second thing I see is this could be a very, very, very effective way of drumming up buzz surrounding the Razor. I mean, the phone cut into a car. It's in the same kind of style as some of the other Razor ads where they show you it slicing through the ether as it's cutting from white to black or stuff like that. So I was looking at it and going, you know what? This could either be one of two things. You know, it could either be the guy has a real bad luck parking under a billboard, or this is a fantastic viral marketing campaign. So, of course, I decided to jump right on that just in case, you know, this isn't a fake, but it's kind of interesting, kind of fun to look at. And the phone hasn't really been hyped all that much. And I'm not somebody who sits there and say, oh my God, you know, they're coming out with these three new phones, because phones really don't interest me. Like Steve Jobs said when he was talking about the iPhone, he said, you know, all people really want to do is be able to make a call. And, you know, the iPhone, whether you love it or hate it, allows people to make calls. Unfortunately, there's no touch-sensitive buttons, so that's kind of useless for me, because I need that when I'm driving. I'm not going to sit there and look at what I'm dialing, you know? All right, now the other thing had up here, you know, this is the easiest way for, I could say, the Razor 2 to start creating some media buzz, you know, when the iPhone is all you've been hearing about for the past, what, like 8 months, which is one of the reasons we don't have a whole lot of iPhone news, and in fact, I've pretty much put a boycott on most of it. But it just came out recently that Apple apparently hates all the people who buy the phone, so they've bricked all the people who've managed to break into the phone. There's all kinds of class action lawsuits, and if you're unfamiliar, here's another bonus word on the street. When you brick a device, basically through a software update or through something you've done to the phone, some external source, you turn it into an expensive paperweight. So first off, they decide to thumb their noses at the collective early adopters by saying, okay, we're going to charge you $600. No, now we're going to charge you $400. And they say, oh, yeah, you know what? Well, we had this whole thing in reserve where they had the memo drafted up to give everybody the $100 credit before they even announced the $200 price drop. So first of all, they still have $100 of your money. And second of all, it's a credit. You still have to drop that $100 at an Apple store. So it's not a refund or anything else like that. So it's kind of a little bit of a paper salve, you know what I mean? It's kind of something you just rub on the wound to make it feel just a little bit better. You know, if I had been an early adopter, I don't think you'd be able to contain how pissed I'd be right now. But now they're going to these such lengths to make sure that it's such a closed system. And I understand they actually get kickbacks. They get money from having their phone on AT&T's network specifically. However, there are laws in effect that allow you to unlock your phone from networks. So I'm really going to be interested to see how this whole thing plays out. So, you know, moving, you know, we do want to get on to some other stuff out there. But please, if you have something you'd like to comment on, if you'd like to weigh in on a topic, you can either do it via audio comment at the bottom of the blog. Just click the little, where is it? Yeah, there's an insert audio comment at the bottom of everything. So you just, if you go on over to caffeination.com, you click the title, Caffeination 168 Multitask, and then you head on all the way down to the bottom and you can insert an audio comment and actually record through the speaker on your computer. It's pretty fun. We're trying that out right now, but so far it's only 30 seconds in length, so kind of gather your thoughts beforehand. Or you can leave a couple of them. I'll be fine by that. I'll download them, delete them, do whatever. You know what I mean? All right. Yeah, moving right along, we have a lot of bike tech stuff, and I know there's a couple people who listen to the show who are big into bikes, so, you know, cycling in general, and I used to do a hell of a lot more cycling than I do now. I really need to get my bike fixed, but this crazy bike that first came up here, it's a fancy style of track bike, which is apparently inspired by the frog. Yes, the amphibious creature. So each wheel in the front and the back has 3 spokes. That's it. So it's like a giant triskelis actually in the middle of the thing. This thing is a gorgeous gorgeous example of industrial design. It's actually very organic in appearance, and obviously it came out of the design, the general line of a frog and everything else like that. No word yet on how much this thing costs, but apparently it might be a one of a kind rendition. But it's definitely like a high speed track bike because the handles are actually set lower than the seat, so you'd have to definitely crouch down real low to actually get any kind of work on this one. Next bike we have up here is actually an electric motorcycle. On one end, you know, you sit there and you pedal, and on the other end, there's actually an engine which powers the bike. So what you're doing is essentially powering the batteries which power the engine. So it's sort of a normal bicycle, but at the same point in time, it's much more of a motorcycle. And it says it ranges around 62 miles without any pedal assistance. And it recaptures energy as you use the brakes, which is sort of interesting. It does sport, however, a speed limiter that kills the juice before you exceed 28 miles per hour. Unfortunately, that kind of sucks, because if you're going down a hill and you pick up a good head of speed, this thing's actually going to throw the brakes on for you. But supposedly it's going to run somewhere around $5,000 for this motorcycle bike hybrid. Now, this is a true hybrid, you know what I mean? But this is from a country called Mantra, so it's really neat to see where this kind of genre is going, and this definitely looks more like an urban assault vehicle, you know? You know, I could see, you know, riding one of these to work. I mean, I work roughly 16 to 17 miles away from my house, so the fact that, you know, I'd be able to do this, yeah, it only goes like 30 miles an hour, but most of my commute in the morning is much less than 30 miles an hour. So, I mean, even on light traffic days, I'd be able to zip in and out of traffic and still make a really good time. So we'll see exactly how far down the price goes on these, and I'd like to actually see like an in-depth review of it, you know what I mean? So I think it'd be kind of cool to play around with this. This is definitely the kind of technology that people need to focus on, not necessarily the gas-electric hybrids, because, I mean, that's seriously just, you know, putting makeup on a pig, you know what I mean? This coming from somebody who actually drives a completely gas-powered car, it's basically saying to the oil industry, yeah, you know what, we're going to kind of put you on notice, and eventually you might not be as important as you are right now, but we'd like to get just a little bit more use out of the vehicle than you're currently allowing us to, so we're going to supplement the power. And it just doesn't seem right. This is 100% electricity, so it's kind of cool. Wonder how it charges, actually. Pretty sure it's actually like a plug-in, but it looks more like a motorcycle, or more like a bike, less like a Harley, so that's kind of fun. And then the last little thing we have here, which I actually think this is long overdue. I used to ride everywhere with my headphones in, not necessarily the smartest thing in the world you can do if you're riding in traffic, you know what I mean? But these are wireless iPod speakers for your bike. It's called the Sci-Fi, basically cycling fidelity, probably. There's a little wireless clip you stick on the bottom of your iPod, and It actually, I guess through Bluetooth or something else like that, actually connects to speakers that you mount on your handlebars in between, like right above the center pivot for where the wheel's attached. So it's like right dead center in between the two handlebars, and then actually, you know, open air speakers. I'm not sure how good the volume is. It says it actually has a range of up to 30 feet. I don't know why this matters. Maybe if you could daisy chain a couple of them, you just have one guy with the iPod and everybody else has the, you know, the same stuff going on in their speakers. That'd be pretty cool. I also imagine there's probably some... Yeah, it says you can broadcast up to four different sci-fi speakers, so that's pretty cool. So, you know, just, I've seen this playing around for a little bit, but since we had so much other bike technology, I feel I wanted to actually throw it in, because I don't really think this kind of story is strong enough to stand on its own, although it does have a lot of potential. If anybody ever actually tries these out or sees these in real life, please let me know. I haven't seen a price yet for it, and I've been trying to actually get it, but I must be clicking on all the wrong links, you know what I mean? Alright, next up here we have a fun little tidbit about Halo 3, the only one for today, I swear. Alright, apparently some colleges are actually complaining that Halo 3 is causing network issues. Apparently, right around September 25th, the launch date for Halo 3, between 8 p.m. and 12 a.m., the peak gaming hours, according to this person, the network slowed to a crawl. Now, university networks commonly do something called packet shaping, which is basically where they take the information that's coming through, and they allow certain types of packets or certain types of information to go through at a much higher speed, and they allow other types of traffic that goes through to go in through a much lower speed, so that, you know, that way they can limit the use of YouTube, or they can limit file sharing, etc. So apparently colleges, I really need to talk to the network services people to see if they noticed any problems, or to even see if you could set up like an Xbox or something on the network, you know, not for any reason like I would bring one in seriously, but just for the students who work for me, you know, just to see if they could. But actually, that would be really, really bad. I mean, playing games on the internet's one thing, but if you actually see somebody who brings an Xbox or something like that into their office just to play, I mean, that would be craziness. Although we do have some really sweet projectors. You know, maybe I'll come in on a day off or something like that just to see if it's possible, because they have a really lightning fast network, so that'd be kind of cool. But I'm pretty sure that it would be slightly frowned upon, you know what I mean? But it's just, the temptation is there. I really do actually want to just check it out there, just to see, you know, what kind of fail safes they have in place, at least in our network, just to see if they actually notice the same kind of thing, because, you know, this could be, you know, pure hype. You know, Halo 3, the biggest at launch in entertainment history, the first day made $170 million, and they had a spread of something like, for every four normal versions, which is what I got, that were sold, they sold two legendary, or two, I don't know, advanced super HD fighter one, you know, like the mid-level one, you know, like the collector's edition, there it is, and then they sold one legendary that came with the helmet, which you couldn't wear, which is the only reason I wouldn't have bought it, or would have bought it. Alright, enough about Halo 3 and random rambling there, but we now have two little articles on robot swarming from over at scifitech.com. These are tiny little robots that are around the size of a quarter. Now, these robots connect, I guess, wirelessly through each other, you know, so they have kind of like a little club going on. They have what appears to be rubber bands for treads, which just makes them awesome. So they're mini tanks. They're called mini tank bots. They're useful for sniffing out contraband, so it can carry a whole bunch of... The robot itself can carry a camera, microphone, chemical sensors, and communication gear. So it can then sync up with a dump a dozen of or so of its cohorts. So again, we have the whole crowdsourcing thing, but in the robot sense of way. So it can sniff poisonous gases, bioweapons, explosives, and it can also listen in on your conversations. So... beware of your feet, beware of tiny little tracks in the walls or anything else like this, because this thing is really itty and or bitty. So then the next thing we have up here, this is just a gorgeous example of organic design. Again, somewhat similar to the frog bicycle, but on a completely different level. Lockheed Martin has actually used the seeds from maple trees. Now, if you're not familiar with what that looks like, we used to have a silver maple when I lived with my parents. The seeds have one wing on them, so that when they fall, they look like mini helicopters. So, you know, like the seed pod's in the middle, and then you have one extended wing, which looks almost like a scimitar and extending off of it. And it's pretty cool. Lockheed Martin has created a miniature payload that is around the size of an Altoid in the center, and then it uses all kinds of tiny vehicle parts to create a NAV, or NAV, Nano Air Vehicle. I assume to do like surveillance and stuff like that, but it's kind of cool. I'm pretty sure they can actually use this to measure temperature conditions and all other kinds of stuff like that, but these are also swarm-enabled, so they're going to drop a whole crap load of these over one area, so it might end up being something like Twister, where they just drop these in the hurricane and see where it takes them. That'd be really cool. All right, now the next little thing we have here is a smart, eco-friendly power strip. Now, I've often wondered why they don't have more of these, but you know, they do. They used to have the master switches that everybody had installed, because I guess the physical switches on the older computers were much less sturdy than the current ones they have now. But and a small aside, computer manufacturers, if you're out there, if you push the power button on a computer just for the sake of some of the noobs that are out there, let the computer turn off. Don't do something funky like hibernate the machine, because I had to deal with like three professors last week who were saying, I hit the power button and it just wouldn't go off. Yeah. That turns it to hibernate. I know it's not standard, but I forgot to change that one little setting in their power settings to just have the power button turn it off. Come on, that should be the default here, people. Who's in charge of these decisions? All right, anyway, back to the news here. EcoStrip makes sure all of your peripherals shut off when your computer does. So I guess you have one home port on the actual power strip, so whenever it senses that there's no more draw, or not as significant of a draw from that one port, it then shuts your other peripherals down, which is fantastic. This is a great idea. Like I said, I really don't know why this technology isn't more pervasive, but on the machine that I'm working on now, there's at least 5 or 6 power bricks behind it that are powering things like external drives, the pocket PC that's sitting on top of it, the mixer that's attached to it, the speakers that are attached to, the 2.1 speakers that are actually, you know, routing some of the information in. One of these times I'm going to take a picture of my rig as it sits right here and just kind of trace where all the connections go, at least just for the audio, just so you can see how crazy it can get around here. All right, so like I said, as soon as you shut off the main body there, it goes around and shuts all the other ones off. So hopefully it would also stop the electrical leak, which, if you're not familiar with what that is, electrical leak is something along the lines of when you turn machines off, they still draw power. They still leech off your network. And it's getting worse and worse the longer or the more reliant on machines we have. Like, for instance, there is no reason that your VCR really needs to have the time on it when it's off. There's no reason why your cable box needs to be connected even when it's off. So all of these things really should, you know, cut power when they're done. So when we go on vacation, we unplug absolutely everything. First of all, just in case there's some kind of crazy surge, like lightning decides to hit the outside of the house. But then again, if lightning hits the outside of your house, you have other problems besides is the TV a little screwy. Now, your house might just be a smoking glass crater when you get back. So, all right, moving right along. This is probably one of the craziest things that anyone has sent me. Now, we've talked a little bit about fish tanks here, and I'm a very, very big fan of having fish. I have a tank at work. I have a tank at home. Tank at work right now is going gorgeous. I have 4 giant goldfish in it. You know, nice and long. They're very active. They're very soothing to have in my environment and everything else like that. But you know, we've talked about the deep fryer that where the oil sits on top of the fish water, and that somehow works, and that's crazy. We saw the ice tank as well, and that was a fun little trip where they had fish living inside of a block of ice. At the same point in time, like, there was I guess there was an outer shell, very thick. It was kind of a performance art piece. Now, next up here, we have a fish bird tank cage. Yes, you heard me correctly. This is a simultaneous enclosure in which birds occupy the same horizontal and vertical space as fish do. So what it appears to be is a large tank with a cage submerged into the tank, and there's like air holes for the birds up at the top, but the birds are now on level with the fish as they swim by. So it's a really like a mind job here when you're staring at the tank, and I really need to find some of the other links. I need to follow the links around. I'd love to see a video of this. I'd like to see, you know, just to see exactly how the birds react to be occupying the same space as fish. But then again, you know, neither of those two entities are really intelligent, so they're probably not going to be sitting there going, wow, you're a fish. I'm not supposed to be flying below you. So just kind of fun, kind of thought I'd throw it out there. And that about wraps up the tech tidbits section here for the Caffeination today. We have one little thing. Like I said, this is the Caffeination podcast. If you're listening on this show over the stream at thetechpodcastnetwork.com, then you can find it over at www.caffeination.com. All right, three little things for the caffeinated bits today. I'm going to go a little bit out of order. Bad coffee of the week. We actually went to a restaurant for my brother-in-law's upcoming birthday. I'm sorry to say that Carrabba's Italian restaurant has probably the worst restaurant coffee that I've ever had. First of all, I drink my coffee black, so I'm not going to mask the flavors with the sugar and the cream and the this and the that. So I got my cup of coffee. It tasted like it had been reheated, and it was burnt. It had almost like a cigarette taste to it, and it was it tasted gritty. And not in like the kind of like Greek coffee kind of gritty way where there's like a slurry at the bottom and it's supposed to be there, but it just tasted chunky for coffee. So Carrabba's, congratulations, you are the bad coffee of the week. Good coffee of the week, however, belongs to Maxwell House Instant. And why is that? But because they sent me free samples in the mail, and not because of the Caffeination podcast or anything, I guess just because we fill out surveys here or something like that every once in a while, and people just send things. So they said, do you like coffee in your house? Well, yes, I do. Like would be a rather weak term to use how I feel about that beverage. So I with some trepidation, I actually opened up the Maxwell House stuff, because I'm not a real big fan of Maxwell House in general. And it was the single-serving instant stuff, so just dropped it into the glass, microwaved the water on top of it. By the way, it does not work very well with cold water. That's my big thing. That's the reason I love Chock-Full and not so much. It's because it works even in cold water. I don't know what they do differently, but it just, for some reason, it disintegrates that much easier. So the Maxwell House stuff was fantastic. It actually tasted like instant shouldn't. It tasted like real coffee, which is great. Good job, guys. All right, now we have the two little other bits of tech tidbits here. How would you like a Beermeister? But it actually, looks like something a grown-up would have. This is called the Beer Fridge with a door tap. This is the Home Pub from Asco. So you have the fridge on the bottom side, and then you have the the kegerator up top. So it's actually, instead of a water dispenser in the door, you actually have a beer tap in the door. Gonna need to get one of these for the basement. This needs to go directly into the Caffeination layer, and then I'm gonna have to mod a coffee machine to take place of like a second spout that we would put into this. So maybe we need to go more along the lines of like a Slurpee machine, where you have one tab for beer, one tab for coffee, and then the middle tab for twist. You would all try it. So, all right, moving right along. There's a fun little article from over at energyfiend.com. It says, why are caffeine amounts kept secret? This guy spends a significant amount of his life actually tracking down the specific amount of caffeine in all the different beverages. And this actually kind of irritates me. Not that he does it. I'm incredibly incredibly happy that he does it. But the fact that they refuse to list the milligrams of caffeine on average. I didn't know that caffeine was that variable. They like to measure things in terms of a cup of coffee. And we've talked about this before, where one cup of coffee can actually have anywhere from like 80 milligrams of caffeine up to 190, depending on how you grind it, depending on how it was roasted, depending on the coffee, depending on the kind of water you use, depending on the kind of filter you use. I mean, it's very variable, very subjective. So they say, oh, it's two cups of coffee. That's all that's in this. Really? Because if it was two cups of coffee, it would just look like a giant cup of coffee. Yours looks like red syrup. What's the difference here? So what he suggests is basically they actually need to start reporting an average level of caffeine, or they need to pay a little bit more attention as to how much caffeine they're actually putting into it. I don't really know how I feel about an organization that doesn't really know or refuses to say how much of a significantly mind-altering drug is in their stuff. And for those of you who are out there who don't think caffeine's mind-altering, I do a show entirely based on my addiction to it. And for those of you who've ever tried to go off coffee cold turkey, you'll know that those headaches and the grumpiness and everything else that goes with it and the inability to stay awake, it's a drug. So it would be nice to know exactly how much of it you're dealing with. You know what I mean? All right, well, we'd like to end on a good note there, so that's what we're going to pretty much wrap this episode up, and hopefully the Eagles haven't lost by any more than it was last time I saw it. All right, we'd just like to thank everybody for participating in the Caffeination Podcast. The new and or the returning listeners, you are the reason that we keep doing this show, so please keep sending your comments, feedback, suggestion, hate mail. You can email them to caffeination@gmail.com. Or you can head on over to the show at caffeination.com, caffeination.com, and leave us a clip, audio clip, leave a comment, do whatever you'd like to do. Or you can click the call me button and, actually give me a buzz at 215-240-1319. You can, all right, that's pretty much most of the ways to contact us. We are a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. You can find all the member shows over at techpodcasts.com. We're also a proud member of the Blueberry Podcast Network. That's Blubrry. It's a social podcasting network site, kind of like MySpace for podcasts. And speaking of MySpace, you can head on over there to myspace.com/caffeination, and therein ye shall find the MySpace home of the Caffeination Podcast. All right, and then one last little thing, one more plea here. If you would like it, we're asking people to actually click on the audience survey link. Even if you've previously done it like a year ago or something like that, please just give us a little bit more updated information. We're trying to find more and fun sponsors to give you better caffeination episodes, and one of the ways we need to do it is actually create a media kit. So we need all the information we can. This is not specifically identifiable to you or anything like that. It's just basically a cross-section of the type of people who listen to this show. I know you're all incredibly intelligent, good-looking, and everything else like that. So please click on the audience link and show everybody exactly what you're made of. All right, well, just like to say, everybody, thank you for listening, and stay caffeinated, people.